Welcome to this archived LDN Research Trust conference presentation. We hope you enjoy it.
This is a bit of a historical event. As I'm going to present to you, this is the first time this material has ever been presented at any conference on cannabidiol. And the results have been totally unexpected and totally remarkable. Now, briefly, so much so that Gus Dalgliesh at St. George's in Waterloo, where we're nearly finished writing a paper about it, which we are hopeful will get published in a significant cancer journal. Now, to give you a bit of background about me, I'm a kind of strange kind of character. I've been been involved in unusual things for many, many years. I've been interested in opioid receptors all my life through my work in China many years ago, and so on and so forth. All the cases I see, or at least over 95%, are people with no treatment options. A lot of late-stage cancer, a lot of bowel diseases, IBD, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, and so on and so forth, a lot of chronic fatigue syndrome, which, as you heard from the last talk, is an autoimmune condition, almost certainly. A lot of neurological conditions, MS, Alzheimer's, and so on and so forth. I'm talking about cancer and CBD now. Just to give you a little snapshot of the things that I might do for a neurological illness, our best results are combining pharmaceutical-grade cannabidiol with FMT. We do a great deal of fecal microbiome transplantation. My latest study, which is up at the Human Microbiome Journal, it looks like it's going to be accepted, we've mapped the microbiome of a whole range of our patients and found huge abnormalities, particularly in the cancer population. So this is a really interesting area as far as I'm concerned. Now, sorry, I've gone the wrong way. Right, that's me. A little bit about cannabinoids and cancer. I don't want to spend too long on this, because the main thing is the clinical information, because this is the gold dust of what I'm going to say. A little bit about cannabis. It's a chemically very diverse plant. Look, there are over 100, probably like Gus said, nearly 140 different cannabinoids. We don't know what many of them do. And so basically, the effect is likely to be combinatorial. Therefore, focusing on one cannabinoid alone may not be the best idea. If we can get a molecule which includes the main activators or whatever it is, then we're more likely to get a response. Now, I looked in our practice and I noted that over 40% had been taking cannabis oil obtained on the internet with symptomatic response, less anxiety, sleep better, less pain, and all the rest of it, with no noticeable effect at all on their cancers. That's critical. It does not work in cancer. So what I did, I delved into the literature. I'm a sort of by nature fairly academic kind of sort. And there are hundreds of papers out there, mostly cell culture studies, murine studies, and various other studies showing direct effects of cannabinoids, particularly CBD, on cancers. Right. The next thing I've noted, which you may also have noticed, if you go into a cardiology ward, do you find foxgloves on the patient's bed? Of course you don't. You're given digoxin, for God's sake. And that's made synthetically. That's actually what we do. So it was clear to me, looking at the clinical research in cancer and cannabinoids, it's dreadful. It's in the dark ages, basically. So what I did, I searched around for pharmaceutical grade. Pharmaceutical grade is expensive to make, okay? Expensive. It's not cheap. Synthetic cannabidiol, and started off using this over 4 years ago. I combined that with LDN. Incidentally, I've been using LDN probably longer than any other doctor in UK. Over 30 years ago, I started with MS, got the naltrexone tablet, and basically had to break it up. Do you know what the easiest way was? You got the tablet on a table here, and use the tiny little hammer and go bang. And then I got 10 little bits and it seemed to work and so on and so forth. Now, the results from pharmaceutical grade synthetic cannabidiol have been so remarkable that at the end of year one, I stopped combining it with LDN because the academic in me wanted to know what was happening if you gave pharmaceutical grade synthetic cannabidiol on its own. And this is going on to some of the results. Now, the effects of CBD on tumor cells, it upregulates P21, an important tumor suppressor gene. It also normalizes several cancer cell growth pathways, mTOR, MAP, ERK, and so on and so forth. Now, it has multimodal actions. It is a biologic. Biologics have several different avenues of activity. Cannabidiol is both a chemosensitizer and a radiosensitizer. There's papers written by Gus and Wei Lu, which actually show this, and they're published. THC potentiates CBD, but only tiny amounts are needed. Now, what I did on a whole range of our patients, I added in Sativex to the CBD. Sativex is for treatment of MS, contains THC. I got no additional clinical improvement by adding in Sativex. When I stopped the Sativex, I got no clinical deterioration of any kind. In my view, there is something about the Sativex which isn't satisfactory, and I'm looking into getting some supplies of Drobinol, which is synthetic THC. You only need tiny, tiny amounts because a lot of the studies show that THC potentiates CBD. Now, this is very interesting. We have not had any side effects of any sort, even at very high doses. The legal umbrella for this is the pharmaceutical special scheme, which applies in Europe, basically. Definition of cannabidiol, I don't want to read all of that, but that's the definition. We use synthetic pharmaceutical-grade cannabidiol in oily drops, 5% in 20 ml bottles. Each drop contains 1 milligram of synthetic pharmaceutical-grade cannabidiol, and I mentioned the 40% figure before. Now, there's a dose-response relationship, and if you have more tumor load, you need more dose, basically. We use a pulsed regime, 3 days on, 3 days off. Why do we do that? Now, cannabinoids are related to the opiate receptor system. In addictions, alcoholism, heroin, and so on and so forth, what you tend to do, you need higher and higher amounts of alcohol or heroin or whatever because the receptors become downgraded. If you do a pulse dose, you do not get that. The other thing we try and aim for is there's a natural oscillation in our inflammatory situation and also in our immune situation, which goes over 7 days. You need to apply, whatever you do, this applies to a whole range of other things, at the low inflammatory part, not the high inflammatory part. So therefore, for example, if you're going to do something that has an immunomodulatory effect, do it at the bottom of the cycle, 3 days on, 3 days off. And if you're going to use chemotherapy, you use it at the top of the cycle when there's more tumor cells around. Now, the LDN, the washout rate is very quick, so you don't have to worry about that. Cannabidiol is so, pharmaceutical grade synthetic cannabidiol is so powerful in cancer, you have to do a 3 days on, 3 days off regime. Now, this is a table of our results, basically. I won't go into it in detail, but there's a very wide range of tumors. Many of them were treated on cannabidiol alone. There's a large percentage of those patients who are still alive today who would now be dead if they weren't on pharmaceutical-grade synthetic cannabidiol. Now, so there's a dose-response relationship, free of side effects. Pulse regime, I've explained that. No. Now, of the 294 cases, in that figure, 113, should be 119. This is because many of the late-stage cancer patients only come to see us once. You need to be on this for at least 6 months. It is no good doing it for 1 month. Waste of time, okay? So, these numbers are going up all the time. This is the academic gold of what I'm saying. Now, these are cases where, this is a selection of cases. There's many more. I could go on and on and on with this for ages. Patient prostate cancer diagnosed August 2013, been receiving testosterone injections to improve his libido. We use the cancer immunotherapy on him. His called sonar and photodynamic therapy. Following the immunotherapy, which we delivered, his PSA dropped to 0.82. He then started his testosterone injections again. PSA shot up. We started him on pharmaceutical grade cannabidiol in early 2015, a dose of 10 drops twice a day, 3 days on, 3 days off. And we followed his progress with circulating tumor cell tests. This is reported in the literature, by the way. This is cheaper than doing a scan. And it's we've done hundreds of those tests, and we find them extremely reliable. And we showed a consistent drop in his number of circulating tumor cell tests. And then when he reduced his dose of cannabidiol, then the number of circulating tumor cells went up to 5.9 cells. So there's a clear dose-response relationship. Now, this is kind of really interesting, this one. This is one of the patients which triggered me to look, I've got to stop using anything else with the pharmaceutical-grade cannabidiol, because this is remarkable. Anaplastic ependymoma, young child. He's had all standard treatments, no further treatment options are available. All the ependymomas are posterior fossa, basically, and they're all lethal, basically. We started him on cannabidiol in February 2016. A scan carried out in December 2016 showed tumor volume had decreased by 2/3. Further scans carried out since December 2016 continue to show stable disease. CBD was the only treatment. Now, these are his scans. So at the top, just read that bit at the top. This was done in January 2016, further enlargement of the posterior fossa mass. And up there. And so there was disease progression, January 2016, okay? Now, hang on a sec. What have I done here? This seems to have switched on to the next one. There we go, we're getting there. Okay. Now the next scan here was done in April 2016. He'd been on cannabidiol for 2 months. There was further tumor progression, no result at 2 months. Next one, study carried out in September 2016. He'd been on it just over 6 months. The tumor had reduced by 2/3. Further result in December 2016, continued slow improvement. In February 2017, stable disease. That child is having a relatively normal life. Now, that's simply incredible and totally extraordinary. Now, next one, metastatic breast cancer with bone mets, diagnosed in March 2014, showed in the CT scan as being progressive disease. Local radiotherapy, we started on cannabidiol in January 2015. All subsequent scans have shown stable disease. That's coming up to 4 years. This isn't just 6 months, 4 years, okay? So that's really important. Gleason 8 prostate cancer, Started him on pharmaceutical grade cannabidiol. Basically, his PSAs gradually dropped. He switched to cannabis oil over the internet. His next PSA showed increase in PSA. 85% of our patients relapse on going on to cannabis oil bought on the internet. Really important. Get that message. That's actually what they do. Now, this is a patient with esophageal cancer diagnosed in May 2016. She had a stent. She was a Jehovah's Witness, refused all standard treatments. She was on cannabidiol as the only treatment. And she had expected survival originally of 3 months. She died nearly 2 years later. That's an extraordinary result. No other treatment. Left-sided breast cancer. She is a nurse, this lady. She came to see me with a huge fungating lesion, 15 centimeters diameter in the left breast. She wouldn't she refused all standard treatments, and we started treating her with pharmaceutical grade cannabidiol in 2014. We persuaded her to have a course of radiotherapy. She only had half the course. She's continued on this ever since, and the last time we saw her, the tumor was 2 centimeters in diameter, practically disappeared. No other treatment. Right-sided lobular breast cancer. The summary of this was that we cleared her of all disease. And all subsequent scans have been normal. No other treatment other than pharmaceutical-grade synthetic cannabidiol. Next one, a lady with breast cancer who developed lung secondaries in 2014. We've been monitoring her in with circulating tumor cell tests. Now, that's nearly 4 years. That patient still has absolutely stable disease and is leading a normal life. If you've got lung mets with breast cancer, 6 months is the outside, okay? Now, this is a very interesting case. This is a case of ependymoma again, grade 2, diagnosed in January 2013, treated with all standard treatments on January 2015, diagnosed with progressive disease in June 2016, started on pharmaceutical-grade synthetic cannabidiol in July 2016, the dose is mentioned there. He'd been taking metformin, mebendazole, doxycycline, and so on from an oncology clinic in central London. I'm aware of all those drugs. In January 2017, a repeat scan showed a tumour reduction at that point. That was when he'd been on pharmaceutical-grade synthetic cannabidiol. He then switched to cannabis oil grown over the internet. A further scan carried out in March 2018 showed doubling of tumour size. That's massively important. So, therefore, that's the first scan, a reduction in the size and enhancement of the tumour. Then next slide. This is after he went on to cannabis oil bought on the internet. He doubled his tumour size. We put him back on pharmaceutical grade synthetic cannabidiol, and we don't know what the next scan shows, but I would imagine it would be okay. So, conclusion, pharmaceutical grade synthetic cannabidiol is safe even at large doses. It has potential in a wide range of uses and needs to gain more recognition. It is no surprise that cannabidiol has been used for centuries for recreational purposes, but also for medicinal purposes. We're working out all the details here, but basically, this is massively important, and all I've done is read the papers and actually thought about it. Nobody's done that in cancer and CBD at all. So this is completely unique information. The patient presentations I've given you are never been reported before in the literature. This is essentially now in the public space. What I would like to do is get more prescribers on board. So if you wish to ask for my card, you've got the stuff on there, email me and become a prescriber. then if we can increase the number of prescribers, because I'm by far and away the highest prescriber worldwide, we just need, I've got one or two who do a little bit occasionally. If we can increase that by four times, we'll get an economic advantage because we'll be able to lower the cost. Because at the moment, only small amounts are made. And it's, for example, if you make 100 iPhones, it costs a lot of money. If you make 10,000 iPhones, it doesn't cost very much. So that's actually what I'm looking for in order to help my patients pay less. So thank you for listening. By the way, it's nice to have curious ears listening to me. My my colleague, Gus is an exception to this, have a curious, I do a curiosity rating on them, especially my oncology colleagues. They have a curiosity rating of 0%. and nobody's interested. They don't want to know. If somebody's completely better, they don't say, how did you do it? And either that's complete lack of intelligence or lack of curiosity or something else, or they want to do something easy. They want to use protocolized oncology. And that's dead simple to do. You just look up the stuff. Patient's got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Do our CHOP and off you go. And then you can go home and have your tea and all the rest of it. You don't need to think any more about it. Anyway, look, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this presentation. All past conference presentations can be found on our website, www.ldnresearchtrust.org.